be great. Okay, so we're into week three of this teaching from John 15. So if you have a Bible, you might want to turn to John 15, just to be aware of these verses we're looking at. There are 11 verses that we are studying, and I hope and my encouragement to you would be to read these verses through in your daily the routines of your life as you seek to spend time with God. Just to read through this whole concept of what it means to abide in God and for God to abide in you and fruitfulness. And what I want to do this morning is to home in on to one of the verses in this passage. And it's this verse. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is quite an amazing statement, I think, when we start thinking about it. And I just want to just spend a little bit of time working through this verse and hopefully encouraging us to grow in our faith and our hope that actually this promise is a true promise. That actually in the context of prayer, there is a promise here that if we ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. I don't know whether you've ever asked this question or whether you think about this question. Can I know God? And I would hope that many of us in this room would respond with the phrase, yes, you can. That actually it is possible to know God, not just to know about God, but to actually know him. And I would reflect that actually within the context of the Western church particularly, and within the context of the British church as well, that this is one of the questions that we need to reflect on in terms of all that we seek to do as church. One of the things as a leadership team that we've talked about over the last few years is that, you know, we can come up with the best strategy in the world. We could come up with the best programs in the world. We could try and implement the structures of the church. We could do all that we could try and do to make this church a fruitful church. But if we neglect the heart of actually knowing God, then actually none of that's really going to matter. And really at the heart of us at the moment as a church is this question, isn't it, of discipleship, of being a disciple. And we try to reflect that over the last couple of years or so as a leadership team to say that, and we need to be good at doing things that we do. We want to be good at planning and thinking and strategizing and working stuff out and releasing people into ministry and doing all that stuff. But we also want to take time to ask one another questions and to take time to pray for one another in that context of saying, well, how are you doing in that process of getting to know God? How are you growing? How are you developing that relationship and that context? And in the midst of that, obviously, one of the key things that we can do is we can pray. And yet I know, and my life would reflect that it seems so simple, yet it's so difficult, isn't it, to pray. Prayer is not the easiest thing for us to engage in. And if we're not careful when we get talking about prayer, it just induces a whole load of guilt inside us. We hear it through that perception of, well, I should be doing more. I should be doing more. And I don't want that to happen this morning. I don't necessarily want you to feel guilty, maybe convicted, that maybe God is drawing you into something deeper. But I would hope that that's the process of your relationship, that like any relationship, it's something that you want to develop because you want to get to know someone. You know, it's great, isn't it, to meet new people. And as a church, God is really blessing us by drawing in new people, people that we didn't know 6 weeks ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. And we need to take time to get to know people. That's the only way that you get to know someone. You make time in your lives to spend that time with them by going out for a meal, going for a walk, having some coffee, whatever it might be. And it's exactly the same in our relationship with God. It's as simple as that. It's like, let's take some time to get to know this person. Let's take some time to build this relationship with God. And going back to the verse, that's what this verse is about. There's a clause and a sort of an if and then connection here. If you do this, then this will happen. So if you take time to work out what does it mean for me to abide in him and for him to abide in me. If I do that, if I work that out, then we have this promise. And sometimes if we're not careful, we just focus on one or the other. But I want this morning to try and bring the two together so that in our lives we find this sweet spot where we're abiding with God and we're working through how it means to get to know him. And then out of that, there's those times when we do pray and we're praying for things and we're asking for things and we have that amazing moment when we see God answer a prayer and something happens that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't have asked. And that's what this verse is about. It's about understanding that if we abide and he abides in us, then actually some amazing things can happen. That out of that relationship that we have, there is that ability for things to change in our own lives, but also to change in some of the circumstances that we're in. I think, you know, those of you who've been around HBC for a while will know this, that it's one of our desires is for the HBC to be a house of prayer. And I really want us to be a church that is engaged in prayer in so many ways, whether that's your personal, private prayer, whether it's a prayer life that you have as a family, whether it's a prayer life that we have when we meet corporately in smaller groups, mid-sized groups, large groups. I want us to get used to prayer that is proclamation prayer. I want us to see you having healing prayer. I want us to see us petitioning prayer. There's all sorts of prayer that we can get involved in. And it all comes out of wanting to be a church that is a house of prayer. And you'll know, hopefully, over these last 2 weeks that we've had this 10 days of prayer. We've had a prayer guide. We've had an opportunity to pray. We've had an opportunity to meet together. And when I was reading and thinking about this with Sue, particularly we were talking about it, I was reminded of the verses from Isaiah 56. This is what God says through his scriptures. He says, I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Not just my desire or our desire as a leadership team for us to be a house of prayer, but I believe it's God's desire. God wants us to be a place where prayer is as important to us almost as breathing. It's like, actually, whatever we're trying to do, let's make sure we give ourselves to this getting to know God. Getting to know him and spending time with him. And that comes back to this phrase about abide in me. How can I do that? What does that mean to you? What does that conjure up in your thinking, in your reflecting of your relationship with God, to actually abide with him? It's interesting, if you read through the 11 verses in John 15, we have a number of phrases where Jesus says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And he says it twice in that sort of way. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. And then here in verse 7 he says, abide in me and let my words abide in you. And I think one of the ways that God does abide in us The way that Jesus abides within us is in the way that we actually allow his word to abide in us. To enable his words to actually permeate our lives and who we are and what we're about. And I want to give you 5 practical steps in how to do that. Because again, I recognize that sometimes it's the how that's really important. How do we do this? How do we engage with God's scriptures? Well, the first thing that I think we need to do, the first step, is to remind ourselves again and again how important that is. To actually remind ourselves, because it's so easy to forget. To forget, actually, that the Word of God, the scriptures that we have, are, as Jesus puts it, they are the Word, the things that we eat. It's what feeds us spiritually. We're not just reading words. It's not like reading any other book. And sometimes we don't appreciate, we don't perhaps remind ourselves how significant it is when we actually read the scriptures. And when we read the scriptures, there is something happening spiritually because the words are life to us, aren't they? They're life to us. That's what the scripture says. And so we need to remind ourselves, even this morning, in terms of how you view reading the scriptures. In some ways, I could encourage you to say to you, do this, do that, do the other. But if you don't think it's important, then in some ways you'll never do it. You have to convince yourself that this is important. Nobody else really is going to convince you. And you need to remind yourselves and go back again and again to stuff that maybe you've heard before and say to yourselves, yeah, actually, by reading the scriptures, I'm not just reading any other book. I'm actually reading the Word of God. That in these words themselves, through the power of the Spirit, they can come out to me and bring life and energy and promise and hope and expectation. They can remind me of what's true and what actually I need to apply into my lives. It's so important that we remind ourselves. The second thing that we need to do is that we need to plan. And again, I want to be really practical with you that if in our lives, if we're going to spend time with people, if we're going to get to know people, then we have to build in our lives a plan. We have to build into our lives what we would call, and one of the phrases that we've been thinking about is, what predictable patterns do you build into your life for you to enable to get to know things? So if you're getting to know people, you know, if you want to get to know people, you've got to build time, haven't you, to spend time with them. And if you're going to get to know God, then you have to, and I don't think there's any shortcut, is that you have to plan. You have to plan in your life, when are you going to put predictable patterns into your life that will enable you to get to know God. For me, one of the things that I do is, and it works well for me because I'm quite a predictable pattern person. My life would actually fall apart because of if I wasn't planned and predictable. And sometimes, if I'm honest, my life is so planned out that I don't have enough time sometimes to be spontaneous. But that's how I have to work in terms of my diary and when I see people and when I do things and when I go places. So for me, it works really well. But I would say that for all of us, wherever you are in that continuum, that you might be a very organized person over here. And yes, in the way that you organize your life, then yes, planning to meet with God is great because you can just plan it in. You might be a really organic type of person and you just let things go with the flow. And if it happens this week, that's great. And if it happens next week, well, I'll try it. But I would encourage you just to find in that continuum what works for you, but in that, put some planning in. Put some planning in predictably. When are you going to meet with God? This week. When are you going to do it? Are you going to do it early in the morning? Are you going to do it when you're driving in your car to work? Are you going to do it when you're walking the dog? Are you going to do it when late in the evening? When? What will work for you this week? For you to just take some time to get to know God. That's really important. When are you going to do it as a family, if you're a married couple? When are you going to sit down together as a husband and wife and say, actually, we're going to pray together? When are you going to do it with your family if you've got children at home, or you live with a group of friends, or wherever the context is? Or if you live on your own, you think, well, actually, I'll meet up with somebody this week and we'll just meet for an hour and we'll pray together. When are you going to do it? If you don't plan it, I would argue that you won't do it. Other things will come into your life in terms of the busyness. And that links in then, isn't it, to deciding then. What will you do when you've done that? So you planned your time. You think, right, I'm going to sit down for 15 minutes. Let's just use that. You might meet for less or more, but let's say you're going to sit down for 15 minutes. Or you're going to go for a walk for 15 minutes. What are you going to do then? Determine what you're going to do in that 15 minutes. Don't get to that moment and think, right, what shall I do now? Have a think about, well, is it, you know, I'm going to read through the Gospel of Mark. That's what I'm going to do for the next, I don't know, 6 months, whatever it is. I'm going to systematically, when I read the Bible, I'm going to read through Mark. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about trying to read the Old Testament and the New Testament and read a psalm. And I'll just read through. But just determine what you want to do. One of the things that I decided to do at the beginning of this year was that I determined that I was going to read through the whole Bible. That was my goal, to do that systematically each day. Take 10, 15 minutes to read it through using a plan. And there's loads of plans out there. Internet is great for that. You can find all sorts of plans. If you want a plan of how you read through different parts of the Bible, you can find it. And that's what I've been doing. So you read something through each day, and it's been produced by Nicky Gumbel from Holy Trinity Brompton. So he does a little bit of a commentary, and so I've been trying to read that through. So I'm actually 3.5 weeks behind. But that's okay. You know, I'll try and catch up by the end of the year. But so I'm not trying to be too legalistic in my own heart and feel too guilty about that. But there's that going on. I'm now coming into September. I've been doing it consistently through the whole year. What will you do? I would say the fourth thing that you could do, and this one requires a little bit more work, is when was the last time you memorized something from Scripture? Sometimes people say to me, Andy, oh, you know the Bible so well. And that, to be honest, that's because in the very first 3 years of my life, somebody got alongside him and said, the best way to get to know the Bible is to memorize it. So in the first 3 years of my life, I memorized huge chunks of Scripture. For 3 years of my Christian life. Yeah, that would have been good, wouldn't it? I was 17 when I became a Christian. So in those first 3 years of my Christian life, somebody got alongside and said, the best way is to memorize Scripture. And so as a really enthusiastic 17-year-old, I memorized the whole of Ephesians. When was the last time you memorized anything in Scripture? I don't know, just a verse. Just for a week, just go back to a verse, even just the verse from today. To memorize it, to sort of, you know, that whole thing of meditating on Scripture. So many of us are I would say most of us in this room are really good at meditating. Allowing things to go round and round our heads, to gurgitate. Most of us call it worry. We are good at it. But actually, just to, in the midst of that, when things are going round and round your head, remind yourselves of what God has said. Some Scripture. The Scriptures do say that, and this is in John 15 or 16, where it says that, you know, the Holy Spirit will call to mind the things I've said to you. The problem is, if we haven't put it there in the first place, He can't call it to mind. Now, sometimes God will speak to us and say, you know, and I don't encourage this, but sometimes He will say, you know, Psalm 37, verse 4. That might pop into your head. And you might not know what Psalm 37 verse 4 is. Anybody know what Psalm 37 verse 4 is? Oh, yeah. Sisters, Anne, take some credit there. It's great. Mom. So, yeah, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So we need to get to know verses, and just I just encourage you to do that. Don't, you know, in this day and age, you can stick it on an MP3, get the scriptures and just put it on MP3, and when you walk the dog, just let the scriptures go round and round. I did that quite a lot when Sue wasn't well a few years ago, and it was really hard to read. We got hold of scriptures on tape, on CD, tape, CD, MP3. And we just listen to them again, and just somebody reading the scriptures. Romans 10, verse 9. Anybody know what that says? So it's around, yeah, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then after that, it goes on to say that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Really practical steps. This is what it means by allowing the word to abide in us. If you abide in me, I'll abide in you. And then the fifth practical thing that you can do is to start a journal. So whenever I read the scriptures, and I tend to read the scriptures now on my iPad or on my iPhone, I don't tend to, when I'm out and about, I don't tend to read it from the Bible, whatever works for you. But have something that you can make notes in next to. I have another page. I've got a page where I make notes on my iPad of what I'm reading. In the early days, again, in those first few years when I was a Christian and I was memorizing, I would underline loads of my Bible. Don't know if you ever did that. And I've still got that Bible on my shelf, and it's completely beaten up as a book. You know, it's got written things in and notes against in the margin and stuff. You know, do you bring your Bible to church? I don't know. I would always take my Bible to church when I first went to church as a Christian. My own personal Bible, I would write in it. I'd get it out. I'd make a note against it. I just encourage you to do that. Let's be really practical about this. If you don't put the effort in, then how can we then move on to the next step where actually we're encouraged to ask? Because there is an if-then clause here. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And I would say that there's some argument here that as you are doing that, as you are abiding in God and God's abiding in you and you're getting to know his word, then some of the things that you wish for begin to connect with what God wants for you. You get to know what God is saying about certain things. Sometimes people ask me questions, is it God's will for me to do this? And actually the way to do that is to know what the scriptures say about it. There's certain things that God has said in the scriptures that we don't need to ask him if it's his will. So it's no use coming to me and saying, Andy, is it God's will that I should leave my spouse and go and set up home with somebody else because I'm in love with them? It's settled, isn't it? The scripture says, you do not commit adultery. There's certain things that God has said in his word that we need to get to know. So that as we move through this process, we begin to bear fruit. And that's what this passage is all about, which is what we talked about in week one, about bearing fruit as individuals, that we want to be fruit-bearing people. And prayer is for that fruit-bearing. That as we're praying and as we're asking God for these things, asking for whatever we wish, and God begins to answer these prayers, what happens is that he's glorified and we bear fruit. So we want God to be glorified. The way that God is glorified is that he starts answering our prayers and we're bearing fruit. And it's like, this is a great circle to be in. God's being glorified, I'm bearing fruit. God's being glorified and I'm bearing fruit. It's great, isn't it? It comes out of this relationship then that's going on. It's interesting in verse 8, if you read through it, the next verse says, by this, it's this sense of connection that's going on in this passage. the glorification of God through the bearing of fruit of his people. And just for the final few minutes, there's one thing I just want to just touch on in this verse, because, and it's this. Disappointment. Because actually, if we look at a verse like the verse we've just looked at, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Some of us might have thought, well, I've been trying to do that. But you know what? God's not answered the prayer. And, in the context of our lives, there are those times when actually we will be praying for things. We will be seeking God for things. We will be asking for things. And what we're asking for doesn't happen. And it's so important in this context of abiding and fruit-bearing that we name disappointment. Because if we are going to stretch ourselves, if we're going to take those promises of Scripture where we can pray and where God does promise to answer our prayers, what do we do when those prayers are not answered? How do we deal with the disappointment that comes into our lives? Again, I found this little one. Welcome to disappointment, but don't stay too long. So many of us can stay in that place of disappointment. There can be things that go on within our lives that we've been trying to do this. We've been trying, and I know in my life there's been moments where actually I've been trying to abide in God. I've been doing that stuff. I've been reading the Bible. I've been praying. I've been getting counsel. And the thing I've been praying for just hasn't happened over here. And some of you will have heard this story, and we've told it recently, but the whole journey that Sue and I went on in the process of not having children, I could not allow myself to stay in the valley of disappointment. If I had, I would not be standing here right now. I had to find a way to get through the disappointment. We had to find a way to work out that over here with the promises of God, where God says, I'm good. And over here it was like, well, you're not being very good now, God. How do I deal with that? What do I do? And it's so important that we do that. And let me give you three practical things that you can do. I want to be really practical with you this morning. The first thing that you need, and I suppose what, just to step back a second. When we talk about these things, when people come and talk to me or I talk to people about, what's God doing here? Or give me an answer about, how do I understand this? What we're generally doing is we're not looking for an answer here. We're looking for an answer here, aren't we? I could give you 15 steps of, and it all could be very intellectual, but down here there's still this disappointment of, just hasn't connected in me. So when I talk about these things, it's about connecting down here, not just up here, in terms of how I resolve. The first thing that I did, and what I do, and what we encourage you to do, is that you need to get alone with God and be absolutely brutally honest with him how you feel, because he can cope. So for me, I remember in that period of time that I would go walking, and I'd go out walking by a canal, the canal that goes out from Waverton. And I remember walking once, and I walked so far, it took me about 2 hours to get back. I was just walking and praying, and I was talking to myself out loud, getting really annoyed with God. I mean, I was furious with God in terms of, why was this not happening? You're supposed to be good, and why it seems like you're not doing this. And it's so important that we do that. And to recognize that, for me, it was like saying, I know this truth. I believe it with all my heart. But it seems like. And to get before God and be honest with him and to acknowledge that, because he can cope with that. He can cope with how we feel. And the place to do that for me is to use the Psalms. To read through the Psalms. So again, I would read the Psalms and more recently, we heard some teaching about this from Bill Johnson in terms of some of the stuff that he talks about dealing with disappointment. And the Psalms are there for us to read through the Psalms until you find a phrase in the Psalm that fits your experience. So, you know, a good Psalm would be Psalm 25. Psalm 25 has the phrase, how long? And many of us can be in that place, like, how long do I have to deal with this? How long would this circumstance not change? The Psalms will say things that maybe we don't feel we have permission to say, but they're there for us to say. To get into the Psalms so that you really own what God is saying to you. And then more recently, as I reflected on this, and this specifically came out of some of the teaching that Sue and I were listening to from Bill Johnson, and it reflected our experience, although we hadn't quite put it into this terminology. And the terminology is this: if you want a peace that passes understanding, then you have to give up your right to understand. So that comes from, anybody know, a verse about peace that passes understanding? Need to do some memorization, folks. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight. So lean not on your understanding means I give up the right to understand. I've got a whole list of things that I don't understand. I've got things going on in this church right now with people's lives that I do not understand. If you come and ask me, Andy, why is this happening in so-and-so's life right now? I do not know. I do not understand. But I am not going to place all my decisions to trust God and to follow God and to believe God on the basis that I need to understand. And the sooner we get to that place as Christians, I think the quicker we can begin to grow in our abiding in Christ. Because the minute that you take offense with God for what you think he should be doing in your life or what you think he owes you in your life, it begins to put a blockage in your relationship to abide with him. And I would encourage you to think about that in the processes that you're going through. How on earth do I get to the point where I just don't lean on my own understandings? But I will acknowledge him. I will trust in him. I will believe. I'll go back. I'll pray with somebody. I got to such a point in a period of time, that over 5 years of all that was going on in my life, that I decided to go for counseling. So I decided I would go and see someone who didn't know me, didn't know the church, didn't know the situations I was going through. And I was a little bit skeptical because I thought, I don't know if this is going to work for me. But it was one of the best things that I decided to do. And you just need to do what you need to do to help you get through these times when you are disappointed. So my final point is this. And I said this last week, but I really like this phrase. How in this process, be a believing believer. That it really is possible to believe a verse like this. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. It's one of those promises, isn't it, that is there. But let's be honest and reflect on those times when actually it seems as though whatever we're asking for is not being answered. And to work that through, because actually in the process of this, God is committed to you bearing fruit more than he is committed to answering your prayers sometimes. And in the process that I've gone through, I trust that the fruit of my life through these very difficult times that I've gone through personally has produced fruit, fruit bearing, even though some of the prayers that I've prayed and the things that I've asked for haven't happened. I've been able to keep my heart open to God. I've not got bitter. I've released forgiveness to those who need to be forgiven. I've forgiven myself. I've forgiven God. I've forgiven people. And I've borne fruit. That's what God is asking for. I hope that helps a bit. I really wanted to be practical today in what we're trying to do, because it's, you know, verses like these can be like out there somewhere, can't they? But let's work this through together. This is what it's about, being family. Let's not, if you can't do this on your own, find somebody who you can sit down and you can, you know, you can really trust them, that you can let it all out. Does that make sense? Let's let the worship team back up. Let's just use this time as we sing and worship and draw near to God. Just there'll be things going around in your head that you just need to keep bringing to God. There might be things that you need to do or need to decide. This is just an opportunity, a bit of space now for the next 20, 25 minutes, just to draw near to God.
Psalm 91, the psalmist uses this word dwell. I think it's the same as abide, I think it's the same as remain, I think it's the same as stay. He says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I have trust. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, and no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For you will command his angels concerning you, a great comfort and a great encouragement." Just to seek the Lord and draw near to him and abide in him. Let's stand together to sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." There are some fabulous words in this hymn. Just a real encouragement. And a real confidence that Jesus is our friend and he cares and he'll carry our burdens. Psalm 92, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. So let's sing with confidence in his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion.
Mercy and love.
things that endure. Thine oath in the presence to cheer and to bind. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of thine with 10,000 desire. Lord, let your glory fall as on that ancient day. Songs of enduring love, and then your glory came. And as a sign to you like a cloud. good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. Today, oh, he is good, he is good, he is good. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. A sacrifice was made, and then your fire came. They knelt upon the ground, and with one voice they prayed. A sacrifice was made, and then your fire came. On the ground, and then your voice raised. Oh, you are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good.
Good.
good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today.
If you have your own declarations of God's goodness or his faithfulness to you, your own song of surrender to sing, this is your time.
Just as we're standing, Shirley just wants to share something which I think is really helpful in terms of the context of one of the songs that we've sung just. I think it's really interesting to hear this.
It just struck me as we were singing some of those songs that if you are in the midst of the sort of disappointment that Andy's described, that actually it's quite hard to sing You Are Good. And particularly that first hymn that we sang, What a Friend I Have in Jesus. And I hope it's this hymn, read the story about where that hymn comes from. And the chap who wrote it was about to be married, and I can't remember the circumstances, but something tragic happened to his bride-to-be, and they weren't able to be married. And he picked himself up from that and went on with his life, and at a later point met another lady and was due to be married to her. And again, I can't remember the details, something happened to her as well. And the hymn is actually, I believe, from the context of a letter that he wrote to his mother in the context of what had happened to him. And that actually in the midst of that huge, huge disappointment, he was able to write that, What a Friend I Have in Jesus. And all I need to do is to take it to the Lord in prayer.
Just going to give it a bit more space. If anybody wants to come and share, you know, you can draw it up on, you know, write something up on the board over there or draw something if that's helpful, or just come and share that with us at the front. But we're just going to keep waiting. I think the children are due to come in as well. I think they've been doing some stuff in their activities where they've been listening to God and preparing things. They might have some things to share. So that will happen in a few minutes as well. But let's just keep waiting. So anybody else wants to share, just come to the front and check it out with us. That'd be great. Let's just listen to some verses from Scripture. These are from Habakkuk chapter 3. These are great verses to memorize if you want to memorize anything this week.
The verse I read out before, there were verses before that that are probably more pertinent. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God my Saviour. And then it is that he's saying, the Sovereign Lord is my strength, and he's our strength to get through it. And he will make our feet like the feet of a deer. And he will enable us to go on the heights.
I'm going to just give a bit of space to Rich and some of the children who've been preparing things. You might want to sit just for a couple of seconds. I'm going to give them a moment. They've been doing some creative work. Yeah. And then they're going to just want to share with us what they've done, and it may just connect to some of us in the congregation.
Hi. We've been doing the play experiment today.
Stay.
The children always do what I ask them to do, obviously. Okay, so our theme today was God loves us more than we can imagine, based on Psalm 36, verse 5 to 6, from the Message and from other Bibles read it out from. I'll just read you that. Your love is meteoric, his loyalty is astronomic, his purpose is titanic, his verdicts oceanic, yet in his largeness nothing gets lost. So then we challenge the children to create something, either jointly or individually, that kind of represented that for them. So I'm going to invite them to walk, Benj, big word, walk, past me, because I can't remember all the things that they've created. So they're going to walk past me, and I'm going to try and just shout out what they've created. And if you want to find out a bit more about them, you can ask them afterwards. A couple of them, I think, do want to share. So if you just walk past me, Benj, and hold it up so I can remember. Go. Matthew supporting Benj. Benj, wonderful picture about the size of the world with eyes on it. Oh, yes, it's pictorial representation and a cutout representation of it. We have a card, greeting card, to give to somebody. We have flowers, a heart in a dark space. We have half-made things. We have a picture of a TARDIS. Guys, you want to stand over? Josh, hold up a picture of a TARDIS. We can explain that in a minute. We had a Lego animation, which you can ask Daniel to show you afterwards. And we have a game. We've invented a game as well, which I think we're going to share with you. Do you want to turn it around, girls? Okay, do you want to explain it if I hold the mic up? Shall I hold? Yeah, let me hold that with you.
I brought the Where's Wally book in today, and I was thinking about God knows where we are at all times. So we did a picture of everybody, well, most of the people on here, and it's like a game so we can spot who's there.
So no matter where we are, God will find us and support us and help us and be there with us. Let's hear it for Emma. Sorry. That's great. Josh, now we have TARDIS here. Do you want to have a go at that one?
Well, I made a Lego TARDIS, but sadly I left it in the rocker's room. And I thought that because the TARDIS is really big, it was a bit like God's love.
A bit like God's love, yeah. So it's and we've got a picture of that as well. So brilliant. That's it for Josh and Alfie. Thank you. I don't need to explain that anymore.
I love that. That's great, isn't it? I think it really connects with some of the things we're doing in the main hall. So the children are really hearing from God. They really are, because we were just talking about, I love the fact that God's love sometimes is bigger on the inside than what we perceive on the outside. I think that TARDIS picture, you know, that's the whole thing about the TARDIS, isn't it? It's a lot bigger on the inside, and that's what God's like. We were talking about that. So we're going to finish with a song, and it may be that you want to talk with somebody, pray with someone. We're very happy to do that down here at the front. There'll be a few people available, but you might just want to turn to somebody next to you or just chat or find a parent with a child and say that actually what Rich said connected with what that child did, and I'd love you to pray for me. Let's just, by praying together, we seal what God is doing in our midst. The power of the Spirit just works in our lives. So as we sing this song, let's just do that for a few minutes and then we'll close off officially.